This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Lincoln Journal Star's Life in the Red podcast. Luke Mullen and Amy Just here with you once again, here talking about football. And at this time of year, we got some baseball and softball updates to share with you as well. But main topic, spring game, real football, to a degree, was played. And the Kool-Aid drinking can start now for the offseason, huh? Ample fire to the flames there.
Yeah, I didn't help with my column on Saturday, but that's okay. We can try to dilute it a little bit.
I mean, as is the case with any spring game, you want to focus on the good, not the bad. You know, you tend to see the big plays, not think about the guys giving up the big plays are also on the team. So really, I think, you know, for this spring game and maybe in general, it was really offensive focused. You know, a big, big highlight was the way that the offense performed. But at the same time, the big negative of the day and something you're always looking to avoid, the injuries. And two guys went down, semi-significant knee injuries to that area, wide receiver Demetrius Bell and cornerback Bly Hill. And by all accounts, I mean, Bell, he had a really good spring. You know, guys were excited about the way he was practicing. And Bly Hill as well, you know, was going to be an impact transfer, potential starter in that defensive back room. So obviously a long way to go. You never know how those guys are going to recover, but it was a pretty tough sight to see both of them go down.
Yeah, not great. And I can only imagine that Rule is clamoring even harder now for grass back in Memorial Stadium. That's something he's wanted. And it feels like he wants that probably more now, considering those injuries may or may not happen to the degree of significance that they do if there's grass in there.
Yeah. And so, I mean, both those guys, potential, you know, multi-month rehabs, will hopefully get an update on them, of course, in the fall. But for now, interested to see how they can recover, you know, bounce back from those injuries. But, you know, for the most part, it was a day dominated by the young players. You know, just the strategy that this coaching staff employed throughout the spring, you know, veterans rested for the most part. Some of them got a series or two, but otherwise it was the young guys and nobody that people wanted to see more than, of course, at the quarterback position, Dylan Raiola. If you care about the stats from the spring game, 16 for 22. 239 yards, 2 touchdowns, an INT. But the way that he ran the offense, the way that he threw the ball, that was what really stood out.
Yeah, and honestly, like the throw, other than the touchdown pass to Jalen Lloyd, the throw that stood out the most to me was that 2-point conversion throw. Mm-hmm. The smallest of windows. And he made it look easy.
Yeah, I just think with him, you just see that ability to throw to all sides of the field, make all the different types of throws already. You know, he very clearly knows the difference between you're going for the back shoulder, you know, you're leading your wide receiver over the middle of the field. I mean, very high-level quarterback play. That was already there on display. And Henrik Harburg and Daniel Kalen, I thought, also did very well accounting for themselves. And Harburg, too, you know, he spoke earlier this spring about how he was trying to work on his mechanics. And I think there was certainly a noticeable difference on a few of those passes. He really did show some of those improvements mechanically.
Yeah, it looked like the ball had a little bit more zip.
Yeah.
And with him being more comfortable with his throws, he looked more confident in the pocket, which is a really good thing to see. Like, even if he's not going to be the starter, like, that's what you want. You want a guy who's confident enough that if he has to go in there and make something happen, that he can.
Yeah, I mean, it's hugely valuable to have a guy with starting experience. Like, imagine you go into the year with two true freshmen. Like, you need a guy like Henrik there who's been there, can be that experienced backup. So, yeah, really important for him to continue this progress that he made in the spring and carry that over to the fall. But, you know, while it was mostly pass-oriented, there's a lot more passes than there were runs. In that running back room, Dante Dowdle, he had 2 rushing touchdowns. One of them was a big breakaway, and it was pretty good to see from a guy who you know, maybe from what Rule said, maybe had to adjust a little bit coming in there early in the spring.
Yeah, and that's inevitable, right? Like, it's going from school to school, coach to coach, position position coach to, I can't talk today, position coach to position coach, like things are going to be different. It's a completely different language. So yeah, it's natural that they're going to have to adjust there. But yeah, no, I thought he played really well. I thought he was given a lot of opportunity. As we found out after the spring game, Emmett Johnson was told, you're good. You know, that's enough. We've seen enough. We know what you can do. Let's play some other people. Which I thought was good for him, because, you know, no potential risk of injury, as we'd seen in a couple other spots.
Yeah, certainly. And to your point about Dowdle, I mean, sometimes I forget like how few practices they have in the spring. Like it's just 15 practices. The spring game is the last one of them. So like really you're only practicing a few times. It's not like the fall. You get a ton of those reps. So yeah, the adjustment periods, you know, the spring, it is, you know, quick, fast growth for all those players. And one guy who's really made big strides, you know, throughout the spring, and it really showed up there in the spring game, Ja'Cory Barney. I mean,
oh, yeah.
The staff recruited him. They knew he was going to be, you know, an all-around playmaker, played a little quarterback, you know, his kick returner in high school, obviously wide receiver is the position they like him out in. Yeah, he looked pretty good there.
Can we just end the returner battle now? I mean, my goodness. Though, hopefully in the fall, the jerseys won't be similar colors.
Yeah, and Rule did mention it in the post game, and I had to go back and look at the replay. He, you know, Rule said, oh, you know, I forget which player it was, but he said, somebody grabbed his towel. He would have been down. And I went back and looked at the replay, and it was like the 20, 25-yard line. You know, just snatching the towel is not the same thing as making a tackle in a real game. But at the same time, I mean, the vision, the speed, from what we saw out of the kick, you know, and punt return game last year, I mean, a play like that, it was just
awful.
Just needed to be made.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
So
hopefully a guy like that can infuse some energy and excitement into that unit, because my goodness, they cannot be that bad again.
Yep. Big play threat. Ja'Cory Barney, really a standout of that spring game. And then defensively, it was, again, you know, the action was quick and fast. A lot of players coming in and out. And I think it was just a good opportunity. The one position group that I was looking at was those young defensive backs. And yes, they got beat a couple times, but, you know, really there was a lot of guys out there on the field making a lot of plays. I really liked going back and looking. Dwight Bootle, he certainly, you know, he was a guy that the staff liked a lot last year, got injured early on, and he looked very physically ready, you know, potential, you know, contributor in that defensive back room. And not just him, but of course it was that entire defense. All those young players got those reps out there.
Yeah.
And then on special teams, you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit with the kick return game. Up and down day, I think, you know, that kick return, that was obviously the highlight of that special teams. Brian Buscini had a pretty good punt, but Tristan Alvano, he missed two of his field goal attempts. And that's just a room where consistency has got to be the main thing that improves this next upcoming season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that they have a new long snapper. No idea if that it was the, you know, the whole operation that was a little off, or if it was just Tristan not getting the kicks where he wanted them to go. But yeah, the entire operation needs some work.
Yep. So good and bad, of course, as is the case with the spring game, but Dylan Raiola stand out, you know, a lot of good to look forward to for that Nebraska offense. And before we kind of turn the page to next season, let's talk about the NFL draft was going on this last weekend. And unfortunately for Nebraska, zero Husker players were selected in the 2024 draft. That's the second time it's happened in the last 5 years after, was it, you know, 65 year streak or something like that of consecutive years a Husker player had been drafted. And, you know, ultimately, I think that you got to think that this trend is going to reverse pretty soon, A, because of the high level senior talent that is on this team already, and because of the focus that Matt Rhule and the staff has put on. You know, I talk to a lot of recruits, and a very common thing is these guys have been in the NFL. Like, they know what it's going to take to get me there.
Yeah, and I also think that the guys who returned this past season, some of those guys would have had a chance to get drafted this year. So, yeah, like, Nebraska didn't have any draft picks, but, like, if the COVID year wasn't a thing, they probably would have. So I'm not trying to read into it too much.
Yeah, NFL-quality players on the roster, certainly. And as for those guys who went into the draft process, several of them, of course, landed. with different teams as undrafted free agents. Omar Brown and Quentin Newsome, two secondary teammates. They both landed with the Broncos. Nerdon Newley, offensive lineman. He's with the Saints. Defensive back Phelan Sanford signed with the Raiders. And running back Anthony Grand signed with the Buccaneers, as well as two players accepting minicamp invites, a long snapper Marco Ortiz with the Chargers and wide receiver Billy Kemp with the Giants. So be interested to see if those guys can crack those position battles and maybe make those NFL rosters.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Just from my knowledge of the Saints, Nuri has an outside shot. The Saints offensive line is really old. One of their tackles is he needs to retire. He's hurt, super hurt. One of their swing guys just retired too. So it'll be interesting to see if he can make a name for himself there. But you never know. All you need is an opportunity. Yeah. And the Saints are really big on like their undrafted free agents. Like there's always one or two that make the team.
Yeah, big training camp, big preseason game. Anything could happen with those guys, you know, potentially carving out their NFL career. So that was also something that took place this last weekend. And then, you know, something underscoring the spring process. The transfer portal has been open for a few days. And, of course, you know, Nebraska was still going through the spring. There were no, you know, departures during that spring. But we do have the first one post-spring. Jack linebacker / defensive end Chief Borders has entered into the portal, spent 1 year in Nebraska, transferred from Florida, and it was kind of an interesting up and down campaign to an extent. I mean, he definitely did make some really good plays when he was there on the field, but only made 9 tackles overall, and his playing time kind of faded down the stretch of last season.
Yeah, it's just a really deep room because you've got MJ Sherman, you had Prince Will come on really strong there, which I don't know if they necessarily expected him to flash that early, which put Chief kind of down in the rotation a little bit. So I'm not surprised. I am disappointed to see him go. I just love his energy. I think he's a good dude from all accounts that we've seen. Always a very positive person in press conferences. And just the way that he attacks everything, I think he'll find a spot relatively quickly.
Yeah, great teammate would be something that was said very often about Borders. So we'll certainly be missed in that Jack linebacker room. All those guys are very close there. But, you know, it's interesting, too, as Borders does enter the portal, you know, Matt Rhule, he's been very open, you could say very transparent about the way that college football is now. You know, he was talking about Thomas Fedoni specifically. You know, he was saying, oh, you know, teams have been calling him, trying to get him to transfer. He's talking about, he says, oh, you know, players come in, you know, they show me they've got this offer, that offer. I mean, how bad do you think this is for college football that like spring practice can be going on and you've got guys getting, you know, offers in from other schools getting their ear saying, come here. I mean, this is a really odd, unique setup going on right now in college football.
Yeah. And it's going to continue to happen until somebody gets busted.
Good point. Yeah.
Like
it's the status quo at this point.
Well, because it's like,
yeah.
If you rat somebody out for doing it, let's say, you know, I'm trying to make up a name of a fake school, but I won't do it. If X school offers Thomas Fedoni X amount of money, if nobody reports it, and you just talk about it, but nobody reports it in specifics to the NCAA, nothing's going to happen. They're going to keep doing it. So, but who wants to be the person to, you know, to cast blame first?
Yeah.
Because probably everybody's doing it to an extent because nobody's gotten called out for it. Nobody's gotten in trouble for it. Nobody's gotten sanctions for it. And also, the NCAA is a farce. So
yeah, I was going to say, I mean, good luck for the NCAA when they're
trying to enforce. Trying to enforce this. So, yeah, I mean, the reason why you don't see it happen a whole lot in the NFL is because there's very strict penalties for that. And when you do get caught, because it happens sometimes, I mean, there's a little bit of, there's an NFL investigation into some tampering right now, which potential loss of draft picks, all of those things, huge fines associated with it. So, but yeah, until somebody gets popped for it, it's going to keep happening.
Yeah. I just think it's just kind of unfortunate that, I mean, you have these windows that the NCAA has tried to institute, you know, to make it a little bit more cohesive, you know, less damaging to have, you know, the window open, you know, for the entire spring. But functionally, it is kind of that way. The roster movement continues. And so the transfer portal, you know, the deadline to submit your name in there is coming up here in the next day or two. But we can finally, you know, get some names take a little bit longer to come in. Grad transfers can enter at other times. So still more transfer activity possible here in the coming days. But now we can kind of turn the page. The spring is in the books, and off-season workouts, that'll be a focus for the Nebraska football team these next upcoming months. You know, players training individually with teammates as well. But of course, as we want to, let's look ahead to the fall. There are some positions, you know, you got some guys you expect to be starters, other spots that we were looking at here in the spring. These battles will, of course, continue through to the fall. But what's a little fun, if not make some predictions, color shots a little bit about a few positions, who we think is going to start. And of course, we got to talk about the quarterback position. Dylan Raiola?
Yep.
Yep. I think just from what we've seen this spring, you know, the expectation coming in was always, you know, position battle. They weren't going to necessarily rush things, you know, evaluate all three guys, give them an honest opportunity. But the high level arm talent, you know, the way he approaches that quarterback position, there's just so much to like there.
Yep.
So we both agree, Dylan Raiola. And throughout this entire offense, there's still a lot to be sorted out. Running back is one of those positions. A couple guys were injured this spring, but do you think one of them comes back as a starter?
Yeah, until I see otherwise, to me, Gabe Irvin is your starter until proven otherwise, until somebody outperforms him. That's who I'm going with.
Yep. I do agree with you, but I'm going to tentatively say Emma Johnson also, kind of. And the reason I would agree that Irvin will be the eventual starter, I mean, everything that the coaching staff talked about this guy last fall, you know, about the way that he approaches, you know, the game. He's such a hard worker. And then out there on the field, I mean, you can just see the combination of power and speed. But again, you know, only a couple games that he got in, you know, going to be interested, of course, to make sure that he's at full health, you know, can be full go for the entire season. So I do think with this running back rotation, they're going to be very, very much so a committee approach with this group. There's enough talent in there. And from what Emma Johnson showed last season, I think his role is going to be in a big, big way. But I do agree, if Irvin's healthy, he's going to be that guy. So that's the running back position. And then wide receiver, I'm going to exclude Jamal Banks from this prediction right here, just because he's kind of that de facto top guy in the room. But a lot of other wide receivers got to get involved. Who do you think maybe lines up next to him?
They're going to start in 11 personnel. So I think it's going to be Isaiah Nair and Jalen Lloyd is the other two receivers on the field to start. And then you have Gabe Irvin as your running back and Thomas Fanoni as your tight end.
You're giving me extra positions.
Well, because you say who's going to start at receiver. Yeah. And I'm like, well, they most games other than like Minnesota when they started at like the 1 yard line, they started in variations of 11 personnel most of the time, so I don't know why they wouldn't do that again.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think Nair, just from what, again, from what we've seen, you know, from practice and during that spring game, physically, you know, he looks very impressive, and he says that he's fully recovered, you know, from an injury that was, you know, going to be 2 years ago, pretty much from the time he hits the field in the fall. You know, he's got that size, he's got that speed as well, and I mean, gosh, you can't ignore Jalen Lloyd, though. That guy's going to be out there on the field. So I agree with you. Those are probably the wide receivers that they're looking at. And then finishing up here on the offensive side of the ball, you know, several guys coming back at the tackle positions. Of course, Ben Scott, you know, going to anchor the line there at center. But the guards may be a little bit up for grabs to see who starts there. We just have to name one. Just one.
I named two.
Who you got?
Justin Evans and Henry Litovsky.
Yeah, I mean, those would probably be the top two. I'd say Maurice Mazzucca, you know, obviously he came in from Florida. You know, they got high expectations for him. But the experience of those two guys in the system playing with these, you know, other teammates, I think is so valuable. And I'll specifically say Justin Evans. I mean, he played 300 to 400 snaps last year. I mean, he was really, you know, started a couple games. You know, they're late in the season when there were injuries. They've been very, very impressed with his position to play, his ability, excuse me, to play multiple positions on that line. So I think he's just a great interior lineman. And yeah, I agree. Lutovsky as well in that mix there at guard. And then the defense, a lot more veterans here. So a lot more guys you can maybe pencil in. They're going to be starting here. But the linebacker position, that one's up for grabs, you know, inside and maybe that Jack linebacker position. Out of those linebacker spots, who do you think you can pencil in?
This is my bold prediction here. Princewell.
Just continues that.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think, obviously, MJ Sherman is going to play a lot there, too. But I think for the first play, it's going to be Princewell.
Okay. Well, we're disagreeing. We're finally disagreeing.
Bold prediction.
Because I'm saying MJ Sherman. And I don't necessarily disagree with your take, though, because I think Princewell is probably the most impactful guy of that group. To me, Sherman, though, he's so dependable. Like, he's just a guy that you can trust to go out there, you know, execute his assignment, do it at a high level, you know, not get confused by the offense. I mean, he was really so, you know, so consistent last year that I expect that to continue. But yeah, I mean, you got to imagine that they're going to find a way to get Princewell on the field. So.
Yeah, and maybe they'll start with like a NASCAR type package and throw like two Jacks out there at the same time. Yeah. That's what the Saints called their like triple defensive end package. I don't know what the Nebraska calls it, but maybe they'll throw a couple of their Jacks out there at the same time and we'll both be right.
Yeah, whatever they call it, they're not letting us know yet.
No.
They're going to keep those calls to themselves.
Yeah.
And then another spot here in the defense that we're looking at, the secondary is really an interesting one because it feels like there's a ton of guys who excel at safety, but the cornerback position is a little bit more, you know, interesting about who's going to start. Tommy Hill is, of course, the guy, the veteran in that group, really came on strong last year, but who's going to be next to him?
So I say Bly Hill, but only with an asterisk, because if he's healthy, I think it's him. Mm-hmm. But if he's not, and he might not be, we don't know the extent of his injury yet, other than it is significant. So I'm going to say Ethan Nation, but only because, yes, Malcolm Hartsog has had a lot of work there. But I think, because they've said they want to keep him at safety. So that's what I'm following, is they've said they want to keep him at safety. So if they do keep him at safety, I think it's going to be Ethan Nation.
Mm. Which is
a roundabout way of answering that. But like, yeah, I think it's going to be him. I think he's shown flashes. I mean, he had an interception on Saturday. So
yeah. Well, I think I do agree with you. Bly Hill, if healthy, you'd want him in that other spot. But I'm going to say Malcolm Hartsog. I'm going to say for all the intent of the Nebraska coaching staff, they're going to look at it in August and they're going to say, man, we got to get the secondary together. Like, Malcolm, you got to play corner again, buddy. Like, you know, for as much as I think he is a great fit there at safety, he certainly, you know, he's proved in these last couple of years. I mean, he can cover very effectively one-on-one, even these wide receivers that are taller, more physical than he is. He has a, you know, great jump there at cornerback as well. And again, you know, if they do move him to safety, if I did have to pick somebody else, Ethan Nation would also be up there. As I mentioned, Dwight Boodle, I think, is also a path to playing time there. But yeah, that Bly Hill injury, that definitely does shake things up there, because he would be one of those top guys at cornerback. So we'll revisit these predictions. We'll hash out the depth chart in full, of course, here in August when we've got a little more information about how these guys are healing up, how they're handling. But so far, keep those receipts. That's what we think here in the spring for the long term.
Far too early.
Yep.
Far too early predictions.
Oh, we're only what, 4 months? 4 months out from season opener. Yeah.
Too far away.
Yeah. But just a little fun as we head into the off season there with football. But a couple sports who are fast approaching the postseason as well: baseball and softball. We'll start off with the baseball team. Nebraska, they're now in a three-way tie for third place in the Big Ten. Won their weekend series, but did drop a game. They won 2 of 3 against Iowa. And talked about it last week, the midweek struggles. Nebraska, they're just 5-5 in their last 10 games. And the midweek games are a big reason why. They've had a few these last couple weeks. And 2 this week, as we record this, they will play today, Tuesday at Creighton, and Wednesday against Kansas State. Big opportunity for that postseason resume, especially, you know, they have struggled against Creighton, but Kansas State is the team with a much higher RPI. That's going to be a big matchup.
I am not optimistic about either.
The pitching. Pitching has been the major concern. You know, they've been rotating, trying to find some different starters. I mean, of course, they've gotten the entire bullpen involved, but several of these games, you know, they've just gone behind, you know, 5-6 runs, you know, in these first couple innings of the game. And Tuesday, Nebraska, they do have their starter set for that one. Ty Horn, he's a freshman making his fourth start. But Wednesday, TBD, don't know the starter yet. They'll figure it out. And that's going to be a big one because, as I've said, I mean, Nebraska, their RPI right now is in a really strong place. But, you know, Creighton, another loss to them, that would impact things. And if they could beat Kansas State, that would be very big for their postseason. But after they wrap up the midweek, it is a three-game series at Minnesota, a team further down in the Big Ten standings. But again, Nebraska really trying to make sure its postseason chances improve with improved results in these upcoming games. And baseball team's at Minnesota, so it's the softball team this weekend. Kind of a funny coincidence there. But just as the baseball team's looking ahead, so is the softball team. And it was kind of a tough weekend. Big Ten leaders Northwestern came to town, and really, as is always the case with the softball team, it was, you know, dramatic games, not always go how you expected. And certainly that Friday series opener, that's going to be a tough one for them to handle because Nebraska, they really went up against one of the Big Ten's best pitchers, Ashley Miller, and did a really good job against her and took a late lead, ultimately just to allow two runs in that seventh inning. That was a pretty tough loss for them.
Oh, yeah. Just a gut punch. And they have had that happen to them both in good ways and not so good ways all season long. It just feels like every other game ends that way.
Yeah. And I mean, this was just looking at that game too. It feels like every Big Ten game or Big Ten series that they've dropped, they've been right there with the opponent. And yes, you know, Northwestern, they did have a very big win. And they came back on Saturday, a pretty quiet day at the plate for Nebraska. It was an 8-1 loss. There and the weather was impacting things schedule wise, so they were trying to put in a doubleheader on Saturday. And this is a unique setup. That second game got underway. Nebraska raced out to a 5-0 lead, finally finding some of that success at the plate. But they had finished three, top of the fourth had started. The game was eventually suspended. There was pretty serious thunderstorms came through here on Saturday, and then they came back on Sunday, wanted to get that thing in the morning, but still rain in the area, lightning as well. The game was eventually canceled, and which is really tough to handle when it was their best start to a game of the series.
Yeah, I know. And I was there, and it looked like there would be some opportunities. The tarp crew came out twice to prepare it to come off, and then lightning.
Yeah, too bad. It's got to follow, of course, the rules and regulations, and such a tough one. They had to, of course, Northwestern, they had to travel back home. Those Sunday games as well. So you couldn't just, you know, inevitably delay, which baseball was able to play later in the day because Iowa, you know, driving back home, a lot shorter travel. But that was a tough one because, again, Big Ten standings, postseason chances, getting a win over Northwestern would have been huge for Nebraska. But ultimately, big series coming up either way. They're on the road at Minnesota, and that is the team directly ahead them in the standings. And this is the final regular season series. So Big Ten tournament starts on Wednesday. Huskers currently fifth. And if they win two of three games or get the sweep, they could potentially avoid playing on that opening Wednesday. Could be a top four team getting a first round bye in that tournament.
That would be huge for them. Just with everything that they've been through this season, to be able to get the bye would be insane.
Yeah. And to make a run, they're already depleted pitching wise. That would be huge as well. One less game to play, one game closer to potentially winning the Big Ten tournament would secure a berth, of course, in the NCAA tournament. So we'll follow along how they perform at Minnesota this weekend. Again, baseball team also there. And before we close it out, I want a brief update on the track and field team. They recently competed at the Drake Relay is one of the biggest events of the entire track and field season. And senior hurdler Darius Luff won the 110-meter hurdles, time of 13.25 seconds, best mark in the NCAA this season, no school record. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. And just knowing that he came into this season off of an injury that he didn't even know he had. And he, you know, felt super great during the indoor season. And now that he's carrying that momentum into the outdoor season, it's not surprising me that he's exceeding.
Yeah.
I mean, exceeding what he's done before and excelling.
I mean, what a great opportunity to finish his career too. I mean, he's had a fantastic career, had a great indoor season, as you said. So he's going to be one to watch. Of course, those outdoor nationals coming up here in the next couple months. And then just as big picture, the women's team, they are number 13 in the national rankings and the men at number 20 as well. So winding down that track and field season.
Yeah, crazy. It's gone by so fast.
Yes. And as we wrap up here, this will be our second to last Life in the Red of this season. Don't worry, we'll be back with you next week. We'll update. You'll be checking out the volleyball spring match, of course. That's always a highlight of the spring. We'll go big picture, talk a little bit in review, you know, Nebraska football, volleyball, basketball, talk about the past season in Husker athletics, and of course, wrap up as we head into the summer here. But of course, more news to follow in the next week. We will keep you updated, as always, at journalstar.com. And that'll do it for this episode of the Life in the Red podcast. We'll see you next time.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.